Can you guys start first by introducing your first name and last name, just so when I'm going back and cutting the tape, I'll know which one is Jonathan and which one is Drew?
Yeah, this is Jonathan, and even my mom can't tell us apart on the phone. She just says I use bigger words. That's how she tells. But this is Jonathan Scott.
Thank you.
This is Drew Scott, and I will talk like this for the rest of the interview.
That makes it very easy on me. Thank you. All right. So I'm so excited to talk to you guys, and I'm excited that you're coming to town. I wanted to hit on a few topics of home renovation, if that's all right. D.C. is a very historic city, and there are a lot of older homes here. And it seems like every week a new neighborhood is becoming, you know, the new up-and-coming flipped neighborhood. So a lot of people are taking on renovation projects. But what are some of the top things someone should consider before jumping into a fixer-upper?
Yeah, main thing is if someone's looking for a fixer-upper, there's certain things you cannot change. This is Jonathan, by the way. Like location. That's the key thing we always say. Find a neighborhood that you think has everything for access and amenities that you want. And then when you're looking at the physical house itself, try and find a house where the footprint of the home is pretty much the size that you need, the layout that you need. And then interior, you can change walls, move walls, you can do any of that stuff. But as soon as you go to do a big addition or add another story, that's where a renovation can go way out of control and budgets can inflate and it can become a big problem. So try and find a house where you don't have to do any major additions, just some renovations on the interior.
Yeah, and adding on to what Jonathan says, the big thing I find with a lot of people who are excited, you know, they'll watch shows on TV, they'll hear that, you know, people that they know that made money with a flip property, and they'll jump in there. Education is so important, not just on the locations and whatnot, but also on materials, the process. That's why it's great work with professionals, because we're here to make sure that you don't overspend or get into a property that could be that black hole. If you find a problem, if you do your inspection and make sure you thoroughly investigate any issues, that's a better chance of making sure you don't get into a money pit.
And now I know on your show, at least I read somewhere that you recommend your homeowners have a renovation budget of at least $65,000. Is this a budget you would suggest to everyone? Like, what's the realistic amount you should save up for a reno?
The big thing on our shows is that, you know, there are certain aspects of it that we show you for pricing and timeline, but there are certain things that you wouldn't have in your own renovation. For example, Jonathan and I don't charge for our time. So right away, homeowners that are on our show, they're saving the general contractor fee. On top of that, you know, we give them $10,000 towards the renovation, typically production gives them, as well as $20,000 to $30,000 of free stuff, you know, if we get appliances or floors. And any savings that we find that we get on anything, we pass it on to the client. So there's definitely a lot of value that we give. The only reason you've probably heard the $65,000 is that there's a certain size renovation that we want to do for the shows. So if someone was only looking to renovate one room in their house when they buy it, it doesn't really fit the format for what we're looking for Property Brothers. We need full-blown renovation.
Yeah. And that's as far as Property Brothers is concerned, the average budget of Property Brothers is closer to probably $110,000 to $130,000, and then it goes up and down from there. But, you know, there's not really any norm when people are looking to do a renovation. People ask about that to us all the time, and they'll say, I'm doing my bathroom, how much to renovate my bathroom? Well, it just depends. If you're completely gutting it and you're doing it all brand new, you know, then the price can range. I mean, you can anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000. If you're doing a lot of the work yourself, you'll bring that cost down. You look at a kitchen, for example, I can get all of the big box store kitchens. So I can go to like Lowe's or Home Depot or IKEA, and I can get all of the cabinets for the average size kitchen for probably like $6,000 or $7,000. Then, on top of that, you have to get your countertops, your backsplash. There's usually some drywall that has to be replaced, plumbing, electrical, all these different things. So it starts to add up. But you know, I've done kitchens myself where I do the entire kitchen, install it myself, and get it all done, and I've only spent maybe $20,000. But if you go into a custom kitchen and you have somebody come into a custom kitchen, you could spend, you know, $100,000. So there's really a range. You want to research exactly all your materials and everything before you even break the wall open.
I imagine you guys do quite a few of these shows and these appearances. And I'd love to hear kind of what your favorite part is of doing them and what kind of questions people ask you. Any weird ones?
This is Jonathan. I think the most important thing is everyone can get on side with the idea of making fun of Drew for an hour. And so that's what we do in these live shows. It's great. We love face-to-face, and so having that opportunity to answer questions live, everyone always has questions about the shows. We show behind-the-scenes videos, and we just have a good time. It's basically just like everybody hanging out with us for an hour. If you can't have us actually physically at your house, well, then this is probably the best way to get some tips from us. It's just a good interactive hour.
Jonathan and I, before we got into real estate, we were actors as kids, and we did improv, comedy, sketch comedy, and theater, sports, and everything. So we love being live in front of a crowd. It's a whole different energy, and especially when we have, you know, we air in over 140 countries and territories, and we have all these fans around the globe that want to see us in person. So the fact that we can give them that education that they're getting from the show in person, specifically answer their questions, that's also why we have our first book, Dream Home, which we've just done a pre-sale on. It comes out in April. That's like the next best thing as well, that that's actually coming and renovating your home. We're giving all these tips and tricks from our years and years of doing renovations.
Fantastic. So, okay, the book, the shows, a background in acting, and I also read that you guys now have some music out too. Is that a new venture? Should we expect to see more music from the Property Brothers?
We've actually been singing since we were kids as well. We grew up on a ranch, and so literally almost every other night was sitting around the campfire, you know, playing the guitar, singing songs with our parents and our friends. And so when we were shooting Property Brothers at Home on the Ranch, we went back to our roots, back up into the Rocky Mountains, and we were renovating a family friend's ranch. And we thought it would be great to write a couple of songs that sort of pays tribute to our parents and what we had growing up. And so we were talking to a friend of ours who's a producer, singer, songwriter in Nashville, Victoria Shaw, and she has worked with everybody. Garth Brooks, she created Lady Antebellum. She's just amazing. And Jonathan said to her, hey, we're thinking of writing songs. And she said, sure, I'll help you with it. So her, another singer, songwriter, producer, Chad Carlson, and the two of us, we all locked ourselves in a room in a condo in New York. We wrote these two songs in 2 days. Then we were down in Nashville less than a month later recording the song. So
that's not actually how it all happened. Basically what happened is I haven't had any luck in my dating life, so I heard that women love musicians, so that's why we decided to record the song.
Yeah. That's awesome. Now, one last question for you guys, because I know you're limited on time too. I want to ask and pick your brain about any design trends that you're seeing that are on their way out and what's in.
Yeah, I think one of the big things that I'm excited about is, Jonathan, one of the big things I'm excited about is the fact that we're going to get color back in our world again. You know, everybody's been very neutral for a very long time, and I love that I'm seeing a lot of really bold, vivid patterns and colors. So that's exciting. And, you know, you're still going to continue to see the trends of reclaimed wood and a lot of blending of genres. So very transitional designs with antique, you know, woven into a more modern design. Technology as well is a big thing that's being added more and more. Some of the stuff that I think is on the way out, it's hard to say. I mean, I had somebody say to me the other day, like, open concept is so out. Nobody wants open concept anymore. That could not be further from the truth. 99% of buyers want open concept, and that's open concept from the living room, dining room, and kitchen. If you have a separate playroom for the kids and things like that, an office, that should all be separated. But your main area is everyone's
toilet
still
in the middle of the bedroom. Toilet right that's, there, convenient, in the middle of the bedroom is perfect.
Open concept bathroom.
Yeah, you know what's bizarre? That's what they did back in the 50s to 60s, mid-50s to mid-60s. There was a certain style of home in several of the cities that we've gone to, and they did, in the master bedroom, they just had a toilet in the side of the room right there. So you'd be sitting looking at your significant other using the toilet in the room.
Let's all agree that that design idea is out. One other thing, I wouldn't say as much that it's out, but it's not the most interest I find. Stainless steel is still beautiful, and we put it into a lot of properties. However, people are more inclined these days to look at other, for example, there's black stainless steel. You also have, even if it's just in a white fridge or whatnot, technology, as Jonathan said, is just as important, if not more important now. You have fridges you can order your groceries from your fridge.
Samsung has a fridge right now that it has like a giant 28-inch screen on it. And say you're at the grocery store and you can't remember what you have in your fridge. Oh, do I have, you know, oranges or whatever it is? You can log onto your phone and it'll take a screen capture of everything in the fridge. So basically it's the view if you had the doors open. The fridge with the door closed takes a screen capture of everything on the shelf so you can tell from the grocery store what you have and what you don't have.
See you on February 27th at the show.